Welcome back to Read This Next with Sam and Nicole. This week we are doing a topic we've done before, but one that Sam was super pumped about, and her first official list made for the program. So this is exciting. And would you like to tell us what the category is?
We are doing time travel.
Ooh.
I don't know what it is about time travel, but I'm a fan.
There you go. What is it about? So you said you don't know what it is, but what don't you like about time travel books?
Nothing. I don't know. You know what the thing is that I will read a book without even knowing that there's time travel in it, and they tend to gravitate towards me.
Interesting.
I think I just naturally am intrigued by the idea of time, and although there's a couple of nonfiction books on here too that more so just discuss like time as a whole.
Yeah.
I just think it's weird, and the whole space-time continuum, like multiverse theory,
it gets
all
a
that
little
stuff.
Trippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. There's so much you can do with time travel.
It's true. That's, I think, what I don't like about time travel is a lot of times you get books that are like, they don't, like, when you really think about it, you're like, that doesn't really work, doesn't really make sense, but you have to be able to suspend your belief enough, and I can't do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I can read a book about dragons and
Yeah.
like children being put into the Hunger Games, but the
Yeah.
minute someone's like, well, they traveled back into the past and it affected the future or didn't affect the future, I'm like,
That
the
doesn't
time
make sense.
traveler's wife, can't. I can't do
Oh,
it. It's too
it's a
much.
classic. I think I read that when I was like 11 years old. I had no business reading that book so young, but
Isn't it like kind of upsetting? I
it's
haven't
very
read it.
it's incredibly upsetting. And
Poor
there's a
11-year-old
movie.
Sam.
Yeah, there's a movie, and I'm pretty sure I watched the movie when it came out. I was still very young. And then I was reading like fan fictions. People would make not Time Traveler's Wife fan fiction, but other fandoms would write the Time Traveler's Wife with their characters in
Oh,
it.
interesting.
So I just got like hooked on it. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I don't think there's anything wrong with you.
It's just
What's wrong with me? I love this famous genre.
this is my fatal flaw.
If that's the worst thing you've got going on in your life, things are pretty good.
I think so.
that being said, did you want to get us started or and read first, or would you like me to go
Yeah.
first? All right, you're ready.
I only want to because I think this is one of like my favorite books I've ever read in my life.
Okay, tell me more.
I read it in a day. It was
Oh.
it's really good. It's like it's queer romance with time travel. And it's fun. The characters are super diverse and like welcoming, and it's a warm book. It's just like full of like love and sweet
Aww.
stuff. And it was very entertaining.
I
So
love
this
that.
one, yeah, it's called One Last Stop. It's by Casey McQuiston. She's the one who did Red, White, and Royal Blue as well, which is a movie now. So part of me hopes they'll make a movie out of this one. But for cynical 23-year-old August, moving to New York City is supposed to prove her right, that things like magic and cinematic love stories don't exist, and the only smart way to go through life is alone. She can't imagine how waiting tables at a 24-hour pancake diner and moving in with too many weird roommates could possibly change that. And there's certainly no chance of her subway commute being anything more than a daily trudge through boredom and electrical failures. But then there's this gorgeous girl on the train. Jane. Dazzling, charming, mysterious, impossible Jane. Jane with her rough edges and swoopy hair and soft smile, showing up in a leather jacket to save August's day when she needed it the most. August's subway crush becomes the best part of her day, but pretty soon she discovers there's one big problem. Jane doesn't just look like an old school punk rocker. She's literally displaced in time from the 1970s. And August is going to have to use everything. Oh my God, I just had a brain blank. And August is going to have to use everything she tried to leave in her own past to help her. Maybe it's time to start believing in some things after all. It's,
Wow.
I don't know what it is. I think like the character Jane, you kind of get to see into like 70s queer culture through that character.
Oh,
And that was
cool.
something that I really appreciated about the book, because you're kind of getting like modern queer romance mixed with like old-timey 70s queer culture. It was really, really good.
That is super cool. I'm very curious how, like, clearly Jane's stuck, right? Can she, does she get, I mean, no spoilers, but like when she first meets Jane, is she able to get off the train or no?
No. Nope.
Sad.
And the whole like the climactic point of the book, like when they're trying to get Jane back to her time period, was just really fun. And this is a book that I could really see having like a movie made out of it and like a bunch of people really enjoying it. So my fingers are crossed.
I mean, if they did red, white, and royal blue,
Yeah.
there it's likely. That sounds really good. And honestly, the
Yeah.
cover art is really nice.
It's fun. I'm usually not like a romance person, but it had time travel, so.
You make exceptions for the things you love.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll move on to the next one. This is An Ocean of Minutes by Thea Lim. Okay. Have you read all of these on this sheet?
I've not read all of them, but I have read this one.
Okay,
Yeah.
cool. In this novel, America is in the grip of a deadly flu pandemic. When Frank catches the virus, his girlfriend Polly will do whatever it takes to save him, even if it means risking everything. When she finds out there's a company that has invented time travel, she agrees to a radical contract. If she signs up for a one-way trip into the future to work as a bonded laborer, the company will pay for the life-saving treatment Frank needs. Polly promises to meet Frank again in Galveston, Texas, where she will arrive in 10 years. Nope, don't know why I said 10, it says 12.
Close enough.
Sometime. But when Polly is rerouted an extra 5 years into the future, Frank is nowhere to be found. Alone in a transformed and divided America with no status and no money, Polly must navigate a new life and find a way to locate Frank to determine if he's alive and if their love has endured. It's a gorgeous and heartbreaking story that paints an intimate portrait of endurance and complexity of human relationships and the cost of holding on to the past and the price of letting it go. Interesting. So she has to, okay, let me, she has to work as a laborer, but that's like, so, okay,
But
when?
it's in the future.
Okay, so
Yeah.
this is what I'm gathering. She
Yeah.
goes, gotta save Frank. They go, we can do that. Send them into the future. Then for the first 12 years, 17 years that she's there, she has to work the entire time.
So basically, like she'd be working, she's going to reconvene with Frank 12 years in the future. Like he's not going to see her in his timeline for 12 years.
Yeah.
And they make this plan to meet each other on a very specific date, at a certain place. But the problem is that the time travel company screws up and she gets pushed even further into the future. So she doesn't
Oh.
get placed 12 years in the future. There's an extra 5 years on top of that. So the point where Frank and her were to meet has already passed by the time
Okay.
she gets to the
But when is
future.
she doing this labor? Is it like she does
It's.
the labor and then time travel her back 12 years?
Nope. It is just a. You're basically. She's like advancing her life by 12 years, kind of thing. Like she's jumping 12 years into the future. She's going to meet Frank there. Like she's not coming back. So it's a big risk that she's taking here to save her man.
What is
Okay.
this? I'm still so confused. What does this mean? It says she's a bonded laborer. What
Yeah.
labor is she doing?
So she gets sent into the future and
That's the
starts
labor?
working. Yeah, well, she starts working immediately right away. So she's a laborer 12 years in the future. I forget
Oh.
exactly what kind of work she's doing, but she's
Gotcha.
doing some kind of work. She's living in like a quarters with a bunch of other people in the program.
Gotcha.
But she can't find Frank because
Damn.
he's like 17 years in the future instead of 12 or
That's
however math.
craziness.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah. And I remember reading reviews after. The reason I read this was because it was a Giller Prize finalist, and I like to read those books a lot. They're very good
Okay.
most of the time. But a lot of people were saying that like they're kind of looking at this from like a lens and kind of like symbolism for like immigration. But they're using like time travel as a catalyst to kind of like show you what the process is like when you're an immigrant into places like America and Canada, right? So it's a very interesting book. It's very beautifully written. I
It
liked
sounds
this
like
one.
it. That's a very interesting. I wouldn't have ever, I don't think I would have picked up on how that is like immigration if you hadn't told me, because that makes perfect sense. You're just like, I'm going to Canada, for example. I'll see you in how many years. We will meet here. And then you just have to hope that that works out.
And like the displacement and everything and all of that. It was very lovely. I liked
Oh, I like that. That's really
it.
cute. Huh.
Okay. The next one is a nonfiction.
Okay.
It's by Stephen Hawking and it's called A Brief History of Time. So this one, not so much time travel-y, but very much like focuses on time and like, what is this? Why do we even consider time
Why
in our
time?
life? Yeah, what does this mean? So, a landmark volume in science writing by one of the great minds of our time, Stephen Hawking's book explores such profound questions as how did the universe begin and what made it start possible? Does time always flow forward? Is the universe unending or are there boundaries? Are there other dimensions in space? What will happen when it all ends? Told in language we can all understand, A Brief History of Time plunges into the exotic realms of black holes and quarks and of antimatter and arrows of time, of the Big Bang and bigger God, where the possibilities are wondrous and unexpected. With exciting images and profound imagination, Stephen Hawking brings us closer to the ultimate secrets at the very heart of creation. I find that so weird because time makes me confused. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And like, why do we do 12? Well, I mean, I logically understand why we do 12 because it's divisible so easily, but like, why? It was all just like because we felt like it.
And we like human beings are the only like species that like lives off of time, right? Like to me that's fascinating. So I've not read this, but I'm interested in it.
I mean, I've only heard good things about it.
It's Stephen Hawking.
It's Stephen Hawking. Yeah. I find it interesting that they say that he wrote it in such a what's the word I'm looking for? Like layman's words rather than scientific, because that makes it so much more accessible. Because that's, I think, why I avoid so many nonfiction books, because I'm like slogging through reading it rather than just like being able to enjoy the content.
And I am not a scientist
I certainly aren't either.
at all. I'm not any genre of scientist, so I needed explained to me in simple, simple terms. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen. Okay, this next one, another classic, haven't read it. This is Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut
I don't think
Jr.
so.
Have you read this one?
I haven't read
What's
it,
wrong with
but
us?
I did discover during my research that there is also a graphic novel version of this now, and we do also have that in the library system. So I'm thinking I might check out the graphic novel version.
Okay. Do you know what's interesting? There's a lot of comics that are being made about classics, but not all of them are great. And there's this company specifically dedicated to making like manga Shakespeare, and they're super dedicated to like making sure it's like word for word what Shakespeare wrote. So, anyways, I think I love that. That's a whole other topic, but okay, so Slaughterhouse-Five. It's one of the world's greatest anti-war books, centering on the infamous World War II firebombing of Dresden. The novel is the result of what Kurt Vonnegut described as a 23-year struggle to write a book about what he had witnessed as an American prisoner of war. It combines historical fiction, science fiction, autobiography, and satire in an account of the life of Billy Pilgrim, a barber's son turned draftee, turned optometrist, turned alien abductee. As Vonnegut had, Billy experiences the destruction of Dresden as a prisoner of war. Unlike Vonnegut, he experiences time travel or coming unstuck in time. Cult hero. 50 years after its initial publication, at the height of the Vietnam War, the portrayal of political disillusionment, PTSD, and post-war anxiety feels as relevant, darkly humorous, and profoundly affecting as ever. Yeah, it sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it reminds me of something that like they would have made you read in high school. Like I'm
Yes.
right, they didn't in my high school, but it's like I that's why I want to read it. Especially because it's like classic, and the fact that there's time travel in a classic, that's new.
Can't beat it.
Yeah, I want to give that
Yeah,
a
I've only ever heard
go.
I like it, again, it's one that I've only heard good things about, but I had truly had no idea what it was about, 'cause for some reason, and I think it's because they all have numbers, Catch 22, Fahrenheit 451, and Slaughterhouse-Five are in my mind like connected, even though they're
Yep.
not.
Yeah. No, if that sounds like a trilogy to me. Like just the titles. That sounds like some kind of dystopian trilogy.
Yeah, I had no idea what this was about. That's
Yeah.
interesting. Yeah, cool.
Okay. Yeah. And then
I
we've
love
got
the cover of this one.
me too. This is another one I haven't read. I think this is relatively new. I think this was published in like 2022. So
Okay,
it is a
cool.
Canadian author as well. And I don't know if I'm remembering correctly, this also might have been a Giller Prize finalist, possibly. Don't quote me.
Could be.
But yes, this is called Sea of Tranquility.
Isn't that,
Edwin,
sorry, isn't
no.
that a ocean, an ocean on the moon?
Maybe.
I think that's what like one of those big craters is called. They like name them all.
I wouldn't be surprised because there's something about like space in here from what I
Okay,
remember. Okay,
cool.
so
Your
Edwin
turn.
St. Andrew is 18 years old when he crosses the Atlantic by steamship, exiled from polite society following an ill-conceived diatribe at a dinner party. He enters the forest, spellbound by the beauty of the Canadian wilderness, and suddenly hears the notes of a violin echoing in the airship terminal, an experience that shocks him to his core. 2 centuries later, a famous writer named Olive Llewellyn is on a book tour. She's traveling all over Earth, but her home is the second moon colony, a place of white stone, spired towers, and artificial beauty. Within the text of Olive's best-selling pandemic novel lies a strange passage. A man plays his violin for change in the echoing corridor of an airship terminal as the trees of a forest rise around him.
Oh.
So we're connecting some dots here. When Gaspari Jacques Roberts, a detective in the black-skied Night City, is hired to investigate an anomaly in the North American wilderness, he uncovers a series of lives upended. The exiled son of an earl driven to madness, a writer trapped far from home as a pandemic ravages Earth, and a childhood friend from the Night City who, like Gaspari himself, has glimpsed the chance to do something extraordinary that will disrupt the timeline of the universe. Sea of Tranquility is a novel of time, travel, and metaphysics that precisely captures the reality of our current moment. So, and I think that's referring to like the pandemic-y aspect of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like we've got like three different timelines merging together as one. It kind
That's
of has
very
given me like,
cool.
yeah, like mystery esque
Yeah, well,
vibes.
I mean, they say they have a detective, so yeah, it sounds like it's three timelines, but they're all, I wonder how Olive wrote this book. It's very curious. I'm intrigued.
Like, how does she know about this man in the forest with his violin 200 years after it happened? I want to know. But I do think that this is one of the Giller finalists. So I did put it on my to read list. And it is Canadian author. I think that Canadian authors, especially because Canadian authors have gotten so diverse within the last like decade or so, it's really nice to read these kinds of books because usually they're
Yes.
like symbolic for something much bigger. But yeah.
Yeah. That's really awesome. The next one is The Order of Time, which is another nonfiction by Carlo Rovelli. Time is a mystery that does not cease to puzzle us. Philosophers, artists, and poets have long explored its meaning, while scientists have found that its structure is different from the simple intuition we have of it. From Boltzmann, a name presumably, to quantum theory, from Einstein to loop quantum gravity, our understanding of time has been undergoing radical transformations. Time flows at different speeds in different places. The past and future differ far less than we might think, and the very notion of the present evaporates in the vast universe. With his extraordinary charm and sense of wonder, bringing together science, philosophy, and art, Carlo Rovelli unravels this mystery, inviting us to imagine a world where time is in us and we are not time. No,
Woo!
we are not in time. Of course, we're not time.
Or are we?
Dun dun dun!
We don't know. Maybe we are time.
And the cover says, "Meet the new Stephen Hawking, the Order of
Okay.
Time."
That's
Yeah,
quite the compliment.
sounds interesting. I don't
I
think
thought.
I will pick this one up only because it's a nonfiction.
Yeah, no, I was honestly thinking the same thing because I have a hard time with nonfiction if it's not a biography or a memoir. And if I'm gonna read something about time, it'll probably be Stephen Hawking.
The OG.
So I'm sorry, Carlo, but this might be another option for you if you're a avid nonfiction reader. I know a
Yeah.
lot of people like that.
Honestly, we don't recommend enough nonfiction on this show. I think it's partly because, like, I know Laura liked to read nonfiction, but not super. Neither of us are super huge nonfiction readers, and you're clearly not either. Like, it's just.
I like
So,
biographies,
there you go.
and that's where it kind of fizzles.
This book is for the nonfiction readers.
Biographies and like movie, like books about movies. That's it. But our last one, yes, our last one is called How to Live Safely in a Science Fictional Universe. And this is a fiction book. It's by Charles Yu. And this one sounds interesting. I also put this one on my list. I have not read
Okay.
it yet. Okay, so Minor Universe 31 is a vast story space on the outskirts of fiction where paradox fluctuates like the stock market and time travel is serious business. Every day, people get into time machines and try to do the one thing they should never do, change the past. That's where Charles Yu, time travel technician, part counselor, part gadget repairman, steps in. He helps save people from themselves, literally. When he's not taking clients' calls or consoling his boss, Phil, who could really use an upgrade, he's a robot,
Oh, there you go.
Yu visits his mother, stuck in a 1 hour cycle of time. She makes dinner over and over and over, and searches for his father, who invented time travel and then vanished. Accompanied by Tammy, an operating system with low self-esteem, and Ed, a non-existent but ontologically valid dog, Yu sets out and back and beyond in order to find the one day where he and his father can meet in memory. He learns that the key may be. Wait, well, hold on, hold on. He learns that the key may be found in a book he got from his future self. It's called How to Live Safely in a Science Fictional Universe, and he's the author. And somewhere inside, it is the information that could help him. In fact, it may even save his life. I want to read this. I think it sounds so fun.
This sounds super cool. I'm also digging that there's like robots involved too. And I love that the robot is named Tammy. That is very funny to me. And I'm very curious about the non-existent but ontologically valid dog.
Yes, me too. And I like the idea. Well, it's sad, but I like the idea. Like, I want to know, like, what happened to his mom? Why was she trying to go back in time and change things? Like, how did she get herself stuck there? It sounds like a realistic dystopian future where time travel's a thing and all these people are getting stuck in like wormholes because they're trying to go back and change things, even though they should have just let it happen
It's
and let it be.
very, yeah, true to what I think people would actually do with time
Yes.
travel. Yeah. I think there was no, I don't remember. I was gonna say there was another book about time travel, but again, I didn't read it, so I don't have enough information. But it was the same idea where they had to stop people from going back. I think that's a pretty common time travel trope, but yeah, this sounds cool. I like the cover of it. It
Me
looks like
too.
a safety manual.
Yep.
Yeah, cute. Do you have anything else to add?
Time travel is awesome. The
Just gonna say time travel.
end. Period.
Enough said.
No, honestly, it's so fun, and there's so many time travel books out there, and they're not even all like science fiction-y, which is the fun part. I feel like time travel kind of fits into different genres sometimes. So I say, if you're not a time travel person, check it out.
And
Yeah.
like we said earlier, we did one before with time travel. I specifically recall I read one of the books and it was a Victorian time travel, which was kind of cool. But I could be wrong. I feel like I've done so many lists at this point, I'm like, I don't know.
It's hard. Well, I was trying to go through all the previous, like the playlists on YouTube to see like what you guys have done.
I could have helped you. We have a
No.
Goodreads that you could have looked on the our red list.
Noted for the future.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, thanks again for making this list. Excellent job.
Thank you.
I'll wrap us up. So, thank you everybody for watching or listening. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, do all that jazz. If you missed any of the titles or any of the authors or don't know how to spell it, you can find them on our blog, which is tbplofftheshelf.com. No? Yes. I nailed it. And you can follow us on at tbaytel. No, oh my God, I am ruining this. We are
Follow us on
not.
TBay
Oh my God. No, we are tbaypl on all social medias. Go follow us, and that's all I got. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.